G'day and welcome to episode 14 of the Giddy Up podcast. My name is JT and I'm joined by the very, very happy human being, Mr. Don Elgin.
Oh, JT, it is bloody great to be back, mate. We're up to episode, what are we up to?
14.
14. Oh, JT, that's bloody impressive. I actually went 14 years without sex for one time in my life there.
We've gone early, but it's going down the tube early in the show already.
No, well, what I'm saying is it's 14's a good number.
Right.
People say 13. 14's bloody amazing.
Okay, well, starting off on such a strong note.
It is great to be back, mate.
This is going to be a very interesting show.
Well, we have to mix things up a bit because COVID's just taken the wind out of people's sails.
And it's our job to pick them up, Donnie. Let's be honest. That's what the show's here. We're a bit over the whole COVID thing. We'll touch on it a little bit. But tonight's all about having a bit of fun and a bit of a laugh.
A lot of fun.
Covering a few weird things going on in the world. And, of course, you know, I was going to sing a song apparently, Don, but let's be honest.
JT. See, and I see the every week we're either looking at Oscar or your Elton John board out the back there. And I know you're a big fan of Delt and the piano playing and you've been inspired. Mm. Now, mate, what have you got for us? I did a bit of She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain last week. Still hasn't made it. But what do you got?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But the good news is that any week now there'll be a debut single. I'm sure of it.
The Voice, mate.
I'm just holding out. I'm waiting for my bloody invite to The Voice. But as soon as it's there, Donnie, I will promise it'll be a breakthrough here. We will. What's the word I'm looking for? Not breakthrough. English is not my strong point. Premiere. That's the word. It'll premiere on Giddy Up Podcast. Yeah. It'll premiere when I actually finally get a song. But that's not really the big news, Donnie. Now, I know we talk about this all the time, your love of reality TV. If there's anyone that loves reality TV in the world, it's actually you, we know. And I know you pretend that you don't watch it and you don't care and I don't have time for TV and all that sort of shit, Donnie. But I know you and you're normally up and about. But we had a bit of a chat yesterday and it was pretty obvious, Donnie, that you were very down.
And JT, I refuse to speak of this until there's a stinger. I need something that's big.
I like how you just dropped that in. This is going to be a night where I'm going to forget.
Have you pushed record, JT?
I have actually done that at least.
What got your attention this week?
I'm back.
There we go.
You could lip sync that, I think, really well.
So, it was very obvious, Donnie, during the call that you were very down. And for a bloke who's up and about, I thought, something's just not right here. And, was it Daniel Andrews or was it the announcement about COVID, Donnie? And he was like, no, that's – we knew that was coming and, life goes on, blah, blah, blah. But, mate, I just couldn't get to it. I just couldn't work out why you were so down, Don.
Mate, I've got to give it to you straight. The Kardashians. Kaput. Finished. Done.
Gone.
JT, I mentioned at the start of the show, 14's a lucky number, mate. Big things happen 14. How long has Kardashian's been going?
14 years.
Go with it. Actually, I thought that'd finish about 5 years ago. That's when I first learnt about him, to be honest.
No, Donnie, it's gone. It is sad news. It's broken. I know we've got huge fans of the Kardashians. After 14 years, 20 seasons and hundreds of episodes, Donnie, they're pulling the pin.
Well, is the world going to be any worse off? I mean, there's going to be a lot of cleavage going this. We're going to talk a bit more about that later because it's a fantastic topic. But it is amazing to think that something has lasted 14 years. That's like it's – you know, they talked about Seinfeld, the show that was
great
famous.
Show about nothing.
Well, bloody tell me Kardashians are different to that.
Oh, mate, I will tell you they're different than that, Don. There is a lot of quality on the – look, I've got a clip for you. This is the kind of stuff –
what do you got?
This is the kind of stuff that people are going to miss out on, Don. And let me just set the scene. This is when they had a dog that came through their house and, well, you know, dogs do what dogs do sometimes and may have left a little bit of a mess on the floor, Don.
I can't look at this. Cam, please help me. Oh, my God. Oh.
That's the sort of stuff that the world is going to miss out on, Donnie, and we're going to be poorer for it.
Well, they can come around to my joint because that sort of stuff's on the floor after most parties we have here. So.
Now, there was rumours around why is it sort of ending and we don't really know. They've sort of said, look, it's had a great run and it was a collective decision and blah, blah, blah. But digging beneath the surface, there's a few things going around. One is just coin, mate. It was always down a coin that obviously a lot of the networks are doing it pretty hard after COVID and they just weren't offered the money that they were looking for. So said, screw you. And the other rumor floating around is a little bit about Kim's decided that enough's enough. Obviously, hubby Kanye's just having a few moments, and maybe it's time he steps out of the limelight a little bit. So they're the two leading rumors going around. I'm sure we'll hear more as time goes on.
Well, I'll tell you what, one thing's for sure, there's a few people that have chimed in at on our Facebook, and they've said that little Maddie said he's more of a real Housewives fan. Like, I must admit, mate, I haven't jumped on that one myself just yet. I'm hoping that you might be able to give me a scoop there, but I'm quietly confident it's probably a bit of cleavage in that one too, yeah?
I don't know, man. I don't even notice cleavage, Johnny, as we'll talk about later. now, some well, it's not necessarily breaking news, but obviously there was a bit of a scary incident, to be honest, as a parent during the week around TikTok. And we haven't shied away from, you know, the suicide topic at all, and we want to keep this pretty upbeat. But for those that hadn't heard, there was a suicide video that was going around. It was first streamed on Facebook Live, and people picked up the stream, and then, you know, what sort of sick human being is then dropping it into videos behind kid videos? So they'd open what they thought was a pretty, you know, funny video, and then it just comes up with a suicide video, Don. What the hell?
That's some pretty sick shit, isn't it? But you know what I found really interesting is only a few weeks ago, everyone was kicking TikTok saying it's the China virus, buddy. They're, you know, China. Hey, his Oz just rocked up.
He's having a ball.
It was, you know, TikTok belonged to China, so the world turned its back on it and said they were trying to scoop information out of the back end from TikTok. But all the talk this time was about TikTok. But, yeah, it was streamed live on Facebook. So, but yet that seemed to get away without a mention at all where that suicide actually come from. I mean, there's some real sick units out there, isn't there, that decide that that's a great claim to fame to just destroy the innocence of children. I would love to get a few of those people in a room with me in a cricket bat and just and give them a little bit of a receipt for their behaviour, because that's shit, mate. I've got kids.
Shit behaviour, no doubt. But one of the things that was interesting, Don, is last year when we had the tragedy in Christchurch, the massacre, that was live streamed by Facebook. So after that happened, there was some laws that were brought into Australia, and the fines are now significant. So the fines to companies that don't remove content like that quickly face fines of up to $10.5 million or 10% of turnover for companies. So that is huge. And the question is, well, hang on, we've notified TikTok, Facebook to stream this. What the hell? Why aren't the fines going on here? Because we put laws in place. But it turns out, however, that videos of suicide don't fit with the legal definition of abhorrent violent material. So there is a loophole in the law that says it's okay to stream suicide, but because that's actually not deemed as abhorrent violent material. So obviously they're petitioning that at the moment to try and get the definition widened again. But again, it comes down to Muppets in government going, really? You didn't think that was, you didn't want to include that little definition in your laws? Ah, Donnie, no wonder they get paid the big bucks, eh?
Well, I tell you what, I'm not going to complain about anyone getting paid the big bucks, JT, because I hope one day for that to be me. And if I have to write some laws to do it, then I'm pretty sure they won't read the same as they currently do. However, speaking of Facebook, mate, no, go on, sorry.
No. Look, I was going to move on from Facebook and talk about one of the places that we used to work, mate, Aussie Post.
Oh, Aussie Post. How good is Aussie Post CEO Christina Horgart? Right, sounds like she's bloody out of Harry Potter, but she's not. She's a good bird, doing a good job. But of course, you used to run Australia Post. You were Mr. JT Male Model Australia Post, I think, was on your business card. and listen, when you spoke, everyone listened. And now I found this fascinating. So you remember a few weeks back, there was that lockdown, the first lockdown. We tested if lockdowns work. We locked up all the commissioners in the commission house.
That's right, in Melbourne, yep.
Yeah, and Pauline Hanson come out and she said, oh, everybody, English is their second language and there's a few alcoholics, and she probably stated a few points in there that are fact and a few just pulled from nowhere. But anyway, that was a big issue. Pauline went out of the goodness of her heart into her advertising budget and sent out some stubby holders.
That's nice.
Now, because they're alcoholics, of course, so she's on the money. So she sent these out to the householder, the commission flats, right? Okay. So not hard to get that. It's on bloody all the news clips and stuff.
Sure.
And then one of them went to the householder that was empty, and a council worker said, well, there's no one in here, so we'll just open this and check what it is. And it's a stubby holder from Pauline Hanson. Mm. And then the council have pulled all that mail and said, nah, it's not being delivered because it's offensive. And then, of course, that then had Christine, the CEO of Australia Post, come out and say, this is not good. That male must get through.
Yep.
And so, of course, the media are up in arms saying, hey, buddy, Christine's jumping in bed with Senator Hanson, or not literally like lesbo style, but like literally partnering up.
Yep.
What is that all about? And I just think the media have got this one wrong, JT.
Well, if the head... My memories from Australia Post, having worked there, and I actually worked in what was called the dead mail office for a while, where all the stuff that we couldn't find a home goes to. And mail was
I thought that was your house. All those truckloads I took around to your truck.
Shut up. But mail was sacrilege. Like, you weren't allowed open mail, and if the you know, it was always given right of passage anywhere. And so in this instance, yeah, the council, for a start, should never have opened the package in the first place. There's an offence. It's actually a federal offence. And then, yeah, what they've decided to do is go, oh, stuff it. We know what's in there. That's going to piss everyone off. So we'll just block it, and we won't let any of that mail get delivered. So the CEO of Aussie Post has gone, no, that's bullshit. You will be delivering the mail. And so it's blown up into this big hoo-ha. But you reckon the media are basically having a crack at the CEO of Australia Post because she's doing a deal.
She's doing her job.
Yeah, she is just doing her job.
That's exactly right. And honestly, if the CEO of Australia Post doesn't come out and say, this is rubbish, here's the law and legislation, make it go through. Because she threatened to call the police if the mail wasn't delivered, you see, and the council buddy up in arms because their little censorship game isn't working anymore. And so that was like, seriously, it was just, I just think at some point, as soon as you start playing God with the mail, then you shouldn't be.
That's right. I don't like what you're delivering, so I'm just going to stop it from being delivered. Probably not a good world we want to live in. Although it's 2020, mate, anything seems to go.
Anything can happen.
Of course, we're not going to talk a lot about the announcement, the Victorian announcement, because quite frankly, I'm still really pissed off about it. And if I start, I won't stop.
Which one is that, JT?
Let's not go there. But one of the outcomes, of course, is that Dictator Dan, I'm starting, has decided that we're all allowed to have one extra hour of exercise, Donnie.
Yeah, realty. Now, JT, that's not bad. Because I went long and hard trying to find out what we could do in an hour. Okay. I did a fair whack of research.
Ooh, I love your research in this stuff. What did you come up with?
Well, this is a few – well, this is what I did. I went and researched this and said highlight – I had hundreds of things you could do in an hour. So it was a smaller podcast tonight, so we won't put hundreds. You could – have a hot bubble bath, JT, in an hour. In that extra hour, you could strip off and whack some bubbles and enjoy it. You could call your parents.
Just before you go in, keep going. Wasn't the whole idea of the extra hour that you could go out and do some exercise?
Well, I'm getting to that. This is case you don't want to get
out. I'm already stuck inside. I mean, I'm already in for 23 hours a day. I can have a bath whenever I want.
You can write your friend a letter while you're sitting outside at your front step. Write him a letter.
Worst tips ever for an extra hour. I'm already at home. Give me something when I'm going out.
Try a new recipe. Okay, well, buddy, this is what you do. Go and if you're not sure who lives in your street, walk past the house, knock on a door and keep walking and see who comes out. So knick-knocking, that's something you can do.
There we go.
You could unplug your computer, hide yourself on your mobile, turn off the television, and just enjoy silence, JT.
Yeah, you've got
just
absolutely nothing.
Meditation.
Shit hours research, Don. Now, I did some research, and what I found out, Don, I don't know if you know this because you've only got one leg, so this doesn't apply to you, but did you know that the average human being can walk 5 kilometres per hour?
Really?
And it just so happens that we have a 5 kilometre radius. So
you can get halfway out of your radius.
Well, you just go halfway and come back, and it just happens to fit perfectly in the hour. So everyone can just go for a walk, for a 5K walk in the hour. Now, Don, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking straight away, you're going, I didn't know that we could walk 5Ks an hour. That's the average speed. But then I know you're an athlete. Straight away, your mind's gone, well, hang on a minute. How bloody fast can a human go?
Ah, here we go. This is where we like to – you would have researched this.
Just so happens I did, Don. Now, it turns out that the fastest human being ever is a guy by the name of Usain Bolt. No surprises there. Clocked at a speed of, wait for it. Do you want to have a guess? Donnie, you want to have a guess?
I'm going to go at sub 10, so 52 Ks an hour.
Your answer is incorrect.
Oh, shit.
I'll tell you what, though. I like the way you put a bit of science in it because I wouldn't have had a clue. I just would have guessed. So, 44.64 kilometres per hour.
oh, he's going to be in the ship at the end of the hour.
He might struggle with a 5K zone, but he's bloody quick, isn't it?
I'm not sure he's going to be able to do that for the whole way, though, mate. Like, you know.
Yeah, well, that's true. And
a sprinter.
And good news is he's not actually in Australia and he's not locked down in Victoria, so he probably doesn't give a shit anyway.
He couldn't give a rat's. He had a baby not that long. His partner had a baby not that long back.
Very, very true. Yep. He's just probably happy to get some sleep. Now, the Royal Children's, Donnie. Now, I know this is something that is close to your heart, mate. Clocked up the big 150-year celebration during the week.
Well, JT, 150, I was there when I was 3 days old. So the Royal Children's Hospital was officially become the Royal Children's Hospital in 1963 when the Queen, our old mate, the Queen, she rocked out here and said, well, we'll make that royal, snippety snip, and not circumcision, opening the hospital that was. And anyway, we got ourselves a royal, and that was the old one. So I used to go into there. My dad drove me in there when I was 3 days old, carried me in, and I was missing bits. And Dad looked around seeing all these tiny little babies, like tiny little midgety ones. And he looked at me and I was a big slug. I was 10 pound one, missing bits. And that's what my mum said when I come out. She might have said a few. I think I was grounded for the first 3 years.
Yeah, I was going to say a few other words might have come out then too, I think.
But she did let Dad take me down to the hospital while she was recovering. And at that point, he looked at me and said, you'll be right. And I tell you what, in and out of the Children's Hospital for the first 13, 14 years of my life. And I loved that. I must admit, I loved it. And then to see what the Children's Hospital did, you know, when they went to the new one, it's nothing like a hospital. Like, I would acquire a wheelchair and sort of have a few races around the joint. And then sort of got busted in a bit of trouble for that. So I stopped racing. But there wasn't a lot to do, whereas a new hospital now, I don't want to encourage you to take a trip, but there is a lot of cool shit there. Like,
they put a lot of thought into it. And that opened in 2011, Don, is that right? Is that the new one that opened in 2011?
Yeah, something along the lines of 2011, Jake. I mean, you're the man with the stats, so you'll know.
Well, I had 2011, but I wasn't sure if there was a new ward or wing or something that might have opened since then. But
Is when they opened the new one, they actually had to reclaim. So they didn't do it all at once. They had to give a bit of land back and that sort of thing. So it was almost like a bit of a shuffle over. Right. So, it's bloody amazing, mate. The Children's Hospital, they've made awesome, awesome grounds. And, of course, this year, Premier Dan, the dirty Dan that you don't like, but he knew that the COVID was going to affect the Royal Children's Hospital fundraising. So he chipped in a bit of the coin that otherwise would have been, donated by Victorians and Australians all around the joint for the Children's Hospital. So good on the Children's Hospital. They've had a huge impact on my family, my niece, and fortunately, I'm hoping that I never have to go there again. But I have been there more as an adult, going to see younger kids who are doing a bit tough and lost a leg and stuff. So it's a good place.
And let's not just brush over that, mate, because I know that's something that is really important to you, that you do give back a lot. And, for a lot of kids that just have lost a leg, not just for the kids but for the parents as well, to have someone who, like yourself, who goes in there and says, you know what, mate, it'll be all right, and they can look at you and someone who's turned out not too bad. It's a huge thing you do, mate, and it's something you don't get paid for. It's just something you do because you're a good bloke, and, mate, you should be getting some kudos back for that, mate, because I think it's good when people like yourself in positions, and there's lots of celebs that do exactly the same, mate, and a lot of them don't want the publicity. They just want to go in. A lot of the footy players, all that sort of stuff, spend a fair bit of time in there. I think it's bloody awesome that they do it.
Good on you, JT. Thanks for giving that up, mate. It's one of those things when you see a parent that all of a sudden gets to see things a little bit different and give them a bit of hope, and the reality that, you know, things that weren't around when I was a kid, the Paralympics and stuff like that, you know, now there's something exciting.
Mate, we've got kids trying to chop their leg off, mate, so they can be in Paralympics.
Jeez, I tell you what. Imagine that. No, sorry. I'll be in the shit for inspiring too many, I think, at that case. Now, hey.
Yes.
JT, we need to move on because Children's Hospital, they cost a lot of money to build, but you know and I've said Premier Dean come up with a bit of cash, right? And, of course, when he's locked everyone up in stage four, haven't been able to make the normal funding, right? Normal amount of cash.
True.
Have a guess. Just have a stab at how much coin we've dished out in fines since stage four lockdown.
What's the fine? It's about, what,
1,600?
1,652. 1,600 bucks a pop. There's a lot of dickheads around. I would say 500 dickheads around, it'd be 500 grand, maybe a mil, 1,000. All right, a couple of mil. Going for a couple of mil.
Triplet.
Six.
Six large. That's what he's pulled. You can see why he wanted to bang on a couple of extra weeks, can't you?
Jesus.
But the reality is, if it's the dickheads that have been fined, do you really think the dickheads are going to pay them? That's the challenge.
Of course they won't. And no doubt there'll be a class action at some point that'll be suing the government for the inconvenience of being fined, and the government will end up paying them compensation for the inconvenience of being fined and for pain and suffering of being fined, and it'll end up costing us about $5,000 each. Yeah, all good.
There you go. That works out okay.
Hey,
on a brighter note, JT, let's skip over to the fact of yesterday.
Yes.
Where are we going? So if people are listening to this live, it was yesterday. If you've picked it up Saturday morning on your walk or your bath or your extra hour.
Thursday.
Well, it was the other day. So are you okay day, JT?
Oh, it's a great bloody day, isn't it? I'm not going to say it. I actually think it's a bit of bullshit, Don. And
so do I.
Oh, there we go. We didn't even discuss this.
No, I don't really. I just didn't want to get you angry. Right, what do you think it is?
I think it's a fantastic initiative. And I know you've got some information about the guy that founded it, and hats off, because I think any time that as human beings we're talking to other human beings and checking in that they're okay is a good thing. I just think it's like a lot of these things that it's all really cool and, you know, let's all be amazing, and you see your Facebook feed full of it on Are You Okay Day. I think that's great, but people need help all year round. And so for me, you see some of the, not keyboard warriors, keyboard heroes, whatever you want to call them, it's Are You Okay Day today. So if any of my friends need to talk, blah, blah, blah. Look, that's all great, but it's the ones that aren't talking that I'm more worried about. And, you know, I think it's, as a friend, it's picking up the cues from your mates that go, you know what, I actually haven't seen him on Facebook for a week or two. I better check in on him. And so just posting something on Facebook and thinking they're doing their bit, I don't think that's necessarily what it was actually, that was the cause that, and why it was started. So, look, the premise of it, fantastic. We should all be looking out for each other. And, look, it's a one day a year to celebrate it. Great. But I think I'd just love to see people put a bit more of an effort into it. That's all.
I'll jump up here because I get it, and I think it's been commercialized a bit like Valentine's Day. However, you take that day away, then all of a sudden Facebook's filled that same shit that it was the day before. The news feed is the same shit that it was. So if it's one more day, and here we are a day or 2 days later still talking about this is what I think is really important. But if it wasn't for that day, would we be having this conversation? So I'm going to still say bloody good. Well done that we've got it, but understand the purpose of it, and rather than celebrate the day, let's actually understand that it's about having conversation. So if you look at that and thought to yourself, I won't just put out a post, I'll actually pick up my phone and just go flick it through your contacts and then just dial someone and say, mate, I haven't spoke to you for ages, how are you going? And there's a million ways to do it. And I think, yes, I'm glad we've got it, but I also think it's a bit commercialized. It's Valentine's Day all over. I reckon we need to put more effort in. So we're on the same page here, mate, but I'd rather have it than not.
Yep, I don't disagree with that. So now Victoria, we know, is all locked down, but what's really got into the news this week, Donnie, is an incident in Queensland. And for those of you who haven't heard the news, there was a very sad situation of a family whose father died, and the father was in Queensland, they weren't in Queensland, and of course they wanted to get back and come for the funeral. Now, the health minister of Queensland decided that Jeanette Young, her name is, you're going to hear from her in shortly. Jeanette decided that, no, they need to do the 14-day quarantine period, and of course, therefore, probably won't make the funeral. Pretty damn sad, and it got pretty ugly. And I've got a couple of clips here, and to be honest, I can't remember which order is bloody which, so I'm just going to play one and we'll talk about it, because I've got a few ones here, but here we go.
Now, I haven't heard these either, Jason.
No, you haven't, so I think it's important, because I actually want people to hear this.
I'm not going to ever do anything that puts the Queensland population at risk.
Now, that's Jeanette Young saying she doesn't want to put the population at risk. Now, I can't for the life of me understand why someone can't wear full protective gear and go and, you know, bury their father, for God's sake. It is absolutely ridiculous. Now, things got a bit messy in politics because the PM got wind of this and put a call into the Queensland Premier. Now, Queensland Premier, you know, she's one to really support her team.
I will not be bullied, nor will I be intimidated.
Order.
By the Prime Minister of this country. Every single day it's tough. Every single day. Every single day, everyone on my side of this house is fighting to keep people alive.
Oh, really touchy. So the PM put a call in and said, come on, mate, can you just, you know, look over this one and get it done. Now, of course, no, she can't do that. And this is why.
I will not be bullied.
Oops, sorry.
I understand.
No, not that one. We'll get one of them. Actually, this one.
I do not make these individual decisions. They are made by the Chief Health Officer.
So she just passes the buck to the Chief Health Officer. And the Chief Health Officer, as we've heard...
I'm not going to ever do anything that puts the Queensland population at risk.
So we're playing political handball with this family that just wants to go and see her bloody father. And what happened? So Scotty Morrison puts the call in and says, you know, please let it. And, you know, Premier over there goes, nah, stop bullying me. Scott's bullying me into doing this. Come on, for God's sake. And what ended up happening is they finally decided to let her in full PPE to go and view her father's body for 10 minutes. That was the outcome. You have got to be shitting me. That is just piss poor humanity. And I don't care what state you're in, what side of the political fence you're on. It is absolute bullshit. And that stuff needs to stop. And I'm going to go further because not long after that, we've got, you know, this is a lady who wants to go and see her dad, right? And the whole family missed out. And yet we've got 400 AFL players and families that have flown up and are doing quarantining there. That's fine. We've made exemptions for movie stars. We've made exemptions for pop stars. So it seems like that there's two sets of rules here, one for the general population and one for, you know, for the celebs. Now, you'd think, oh, come on, it can't be as subtle as that. Well, guess what? Here's the quote today from Jeanette Young, the Queensland Health Minister, and I don't have an audio recording of it, but this is a genuine quote. Jeanette Young said there were economic reasons for allowing film stars to pass into the state because we need every single dollar in our state. I have given exemptions from people in entertainment and film because that is bringing a lot of money into this state. That's what she said in a press conference yesterday, and I'll play the clip again for you, Don.
I'm not going to ever do anything that puts the Queensland population at risk.
Really? Unless it comes to money. Bitch. All right, I've said my piece. Back to you, Donnie.
Jeez, you're aggressive, JT, but when you get going, mate, I stand clear because really are you wrong? Really do you miss the mark? And I think this time you are spot on. I also find that it's deplorable when you think about where this young girl come from, young lady come from to go and see her dying father.
Disgraceful.
You know where she's from? The ACT, JT.
Disgraceful.
The ACT
not even in a hot zone. Yeah.
63 days so far since they've had a case of COVID. So they're in the clear. Yeah, your old mate up there has said, oh, nah, buddy, middle of a hotspot because they're in New South Wales. Fuck me. Like, we got some issues there, mate. I reckon that when are you heading to Queensland, JT?
Tell you what, disgraceful. Now, Donnie, now, of course, this one's close to home for you, mate, because let's face it, you're a motivational speaker. That's what you do for a living. Go around the world, give people a good speech, get them fired up and... People pay good coin to come and hear you say your bit, Donnie. And
well, do they? Well. When are you going to pass that on?
Whoops! Breaking news: Justin got fired as Don's manager. But one of the things, Don, is that there's another big guy, and it's hard to believe on the planet there's anyone bigger than you in motivational speakers because you know you're the bee's knees. But
you're about to call a conspiracy here, aren't you? Well, are you going to tell me there's someone bigger and better?
Turns out there may be. Now, look, to be fair, I haven't seen him live, Don. So I can't really compare, but there's a guy called Tony Robbins. You may or may not have heard of him.
Have heard of T. Robbins.
So he was coming down under. He had a big tour down here, Don. Yeah, big tour. Now, people are paying some big coin. Now, he had an event called Date with Destiny on the Gold Coast, and it was going to be in April this year, but then because of COVID happening, they pushed it to September, which makes sense. And now they've pushed it back until now they've pushed it back till April and May next year, potentially. And let's hope, who knows the way things are going, it may still get going. But
I should have had it in Queensland
here's a thing though, Don.
Brisbane.
Tickets to the 6-day event cost between $6,500 and $9,000.
What?
That's a lot of coin.
A ticket.
But the 6-day event. But there's a bit of a problem, Don, because they've pushed it back.
Yeah, we've been paying too less for me. What's going on? I need to pay off.
We're
going to
put your rates up is the first thing I've learned out of that. The second thing I've learned out of that is there's a lot of Australians that have bought tickets. Now, God knows why you need to pay $10,000 to hear from a bloke to go and motivate your life. But, hey, who am I to judge? But basically,
I keep doing that.
Yeah, that's right. But they basically said to them, you've got three options, guys. You can come to the rescheduled event next year in May. Let's hopeful it's there.
Yeah, that's fair.
And we'll work out where the location and venue is because that may change. Or you can transfer the full cost of the ticket to other Success Resources products and services. In other words, book one of their other functions. Yeah. No refunds.
No.
No. $6,500 to $9,000 ticket. And let's just say you've got something on next year and you don't want to go. Let's just say you don't give a shit about being motivated anymore. I don't know what the reason is, but no refunds. That's motivating.
Well, JT, I can tell you for a fact, I had about 3 months' worth of work booked when COVID raised its head. Mm-hmm. Within a week, I had paid back every single deposit and said, no worries, mate. We get it. This happens. And I'll be here on the flip side. But I tell you what, that's an interesting. Well, that was my approach, T. Robbins. I wonder, see, this is it. We're going to shit can T. Robbins for this, but I wonder if it's an event organizer who's got their filthy little mitts in there and Anthony doesn't know anything about this.
Well, I'm sure he'll claim he knows nothing about it, even if he does. But yeah, no doubt the promoters have got their dirty little pockets all over it. And there is the fine print that they're standing behind saying, oh, we were very clear when you signed those terms and conditions, because we all read them, of course. So there you go. It's just a lot of money for never get back. But Don, it doesn't matter anymore. Money is not an option anymore. We don't care. I've got some good news for you, Donnie.
What do you got?
Next week, mate. That's it. You're done.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, you were telling me this is about a month ago. You said you had it all sorted, mate, for Tad's Lotto. You just don't look at your ticket and you're going to win.
Yeah.
I
haven't checked that.
Last night, mate, Powerball jackpotted. 60 mil.
Oh, beauty.
60 mil next week, Don.
60 mil.
That should do you.
Giddy up, mate. Yeah, but what do you reckon? Do you think I'm not going to do this show from Bay? I'll call in from Vegas, JT. Of course I will. I want to see how you're going back here.
That's nice of you to touch base every now and then with your little 60 million from your private jet and yacht.
I'll send you some nudes from my new buddy.
Please don't.
Fancy phones that I buy.
Please don't. Something that I didn't actually aware of, and you know, I do consider myself a bit of an environmentalist, that single-use plastics are banned in South Australia. Now, I honestly did not know that. I knew we'd ban bags, obviously, in most states, but I didn't know about single-use plastics. And by single-use plastics, we mean plastic straws, cutlery, drink stirrers, that sort of stuff. And Queensland are now saying that they're ready to line up next on.
Well, they're going to go single-use, no thank you very much.
Oh, they're going on board as well. So they're looking like they're going to ban single-use plastics as well. So there is a bit of momentum building, Don, that it could come to a state near you.
I wonder if we could give them to the health minister up there to play with for a while. Oh. Anyway, that's do you reckon we're heading down? Didn't we do that? Didn't we bloody can and we started paying out a shitload to Woolies and Coles for bags because we were doing the old insulated plastics?
That's for the bags, so just the plastic bags. But it's this. Now we're looking at single use, so plastic straws, plastic knives and forks, you know, when you go to the takeaway and that sort of stuff.
Plastic
drink
stirrers.
Yeah, they're trying to just rule out now or stop single-use plastic. So bags were first. This is the next step or the next evolution or whatever you want to call it.
Wow. So they got no issues with COVID and shit, so they got to do something with their time. Like, here, we don't even need restaurants, so forget about anything.
That's true. It could be a while before it matters in Victoria, right?
Yeah.
Now, Don, next week, I'm sure you've marked this in your calendar already, mate. September 15, 3 a.m.
Yep, I'll be out of it, I reckon.
Oh, I don't think you will. You'll be getting up because, of course, it is the world famous, and it is world famous. It's the annual Apple launch. They've released the date for their big announcement, And every year, for those that don't know, Apple come out once a year, typically in September. And that's normally used to be when what's his name? Bloody hell.
Jobsy.
Yeah, Steve Jobs. It was always a big thing, and he'd come out on stage and he'd say a whole bunch of stuff.
How did that turn out for him, mate?
Didn't end well, unfortunately. But next Wednesday is the announcement of the new lineup. So we're expecting to hear a new iWatch to be announced. The Apple iPhone 12 is strongly rumored to be released next week, although there have been delays in production. So even if it is announced next week, it could be a while before you can get your hands on one. And there's a couple of upgrades to a couple of other bits of equipment coming out as well. So if you're hanging out for a new iPhone, don't go and buy one this week. Make sure you go and hang out, because there will be a new one not too far away.
Now, JT, you little buddy nerdy Apple lover, you're lucky we're separated, because, mate, 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago or something like that, we had a little bit of a chinwag about this connectivity, and you talked about you were a little seed for Apple and you tested all their bloody stuff. And I said for years, JT, I've been saying this.
Conspiracy.
They send out this little bloody update, and it gives you all the whiz bang fang dango buddy bug fixing. And I said, nah, these bastards have stitched this up. They send out a little like virus, like corona style, but in the phone, right?
Yep.
And all of a sudden shit starts going wrong with the phone, and it always just happens to me, JT, right before a new phone's coming out, mate. So somebody out there in the world, try and convince me that we haven't been stitched up, because by then you get sick and you throw your phone on the ground because the bloody connectivity, and you're trying to take bloody tit pics and post them up on Facebook and stuff, because that's legal. You can still do that, right? But you're not allowed to put any batter. JT, your mob have stitched us up.
I don't know about that, Don, but they did get stung. This was last year. Or was it this year? They did get stung for deliberately impacting battery life. Same reason. Oh, my battery's getting bit shit.
Who lies in bed? Maybe you and your mates, who lies in bed thinking, how can we sting their battery life? I've had people in bed going, oh, the battery's flat. Never mind. But what I am telling you, JT, is like that's bloody, that's some weird, evil shit there, people trying to stitch good humans up. And Apple were guilty.
They were found guilty, and they've now rectified that little issue. So moving on, Don, now this would be another sort of a bit of an Aussie Post one, but, you know, guess what?
What do you got?
There's a new push going on right now for Indigenous place names to be included in all addresses. So Rachel McPhail, she's a Jomarai woman, is pushing for the initiative to include all traditional names on packages. So when you send something express post and you're sending it to this suburb, now, to be perfectly fair, I have no idea what the Aboriginal suburb or town or location is for where the hell I live, but there is a push right now saying that we should include it on packaging. Now, whether you use it or not, doesn't matter, but there should be a space for it, is what she's arguing on all, address.
And I can imagine everyone who's waiting for their mail that's been delayed because of COVID and all this, they're saying, oh, geez, I got this, but I'm really filthy. It hasn't got an Aboriginal name on the bloody envelope when I got it. Hey, now tell me, did you take the piss out of Rachel's name?
No.
McPhail.
Well, possibly.
Like, but what happened? She used to work at KFC and then she went to Macca's and McPhail, you're gone.
Well, it's P-H-A-I-L, but hey, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, but I actually know for a fact, I did some research, JT. I know I live in a street in Dingley Village, and our street, the Aboriginal name of our street is Did You Bring Your Gog Along?
And so on to our next point. Now, Donnie,
what do you got?
Have you been shopping, mate?
Did you do
a bit of shopping during the week?
Been a bit of internet shopping. I've done my fair share. I'm trying to support the economy, JT, a little bit by bit.
And I think that's fantastic, because there was breaking news this week, Don, that Australia's second most expensive house was snapped up by a mystery buyer.
It wasn't me.
Well,
Craig David, wasn't me.
mystery buyer, Donnie. I just know. Someone who's loaded up, mate, like you. Big wig on the motivational
speaking. Buddy T. Robbins, mate. Yeah, that's why.
Motivational speaking circuit pays big bucks. And, I think it was in your price. I mean, it's the second most expensive house in Australia. But, mate, it was only a lazy 95.
Oh, who wants second?
So, yeah. Is it
95
you?
What?
95 mil.
Nah, I'd probably get a couple of bush joints for that.
Ruling you out? No, not you?
No, not me, mate. Not this one. Nah. Okay. Where was it?
Interesting. It was Point Piper, called Edgewater. Had a private jetty, tennis courts, huge terrace overlooking Sydney Harbour. It was a nice pad. It's a bit of a shame. I was already trying to plan my New Year's Eve up there. But all right, mate. No, not you. Fair
enough. Sorry, mate. That one's not mine.
All right, so if you didn't buy the house, though, Don, was it a car?
I haven't bought a car lately either, JT. I've got no. Where am I going to go with a car?
Oh, mate, it just looked good in your driveway because Maserati, the legendary Italian brand, they've come out with their first supercar in 15 years.
Supercar, it sounds expensive, JT.
It's just a lazy 335K.
Oh, that's stuff.
So it's not, that's not bad for a supercar. Top speed, 325Ks. Pretty good.
Well, you could do that in your 5K radius within your hour a few times.
You could do a few laps of that. Got the old butterfly doors, so it's nice and easy to get in here. No, none of that bullshit opening car doors. Crap, this is a supercar, mate. Yeah. The doors lift up. Not you.
Supercar. I want a super bloody butler to open the doors. I don't want to be opening doors and shit.
So not you. You didn't.
No, it wasn't me, mate. Maserati. I would have probably bought a bike.
Disappointing. Anyway. Disappointing. Now, in tragic news made up on the Gold Coast, Shark.
Schoolie's been cancelled.
Yeah, that's also tragic news. Well, although I'm sure there's a lot of property owners that are going, thank God. yeah. Schoolie's has been cancelled. But no, unfortunately, mate, Nick Slater, 46-year-old real estate, was fatally bitten on the leg while surfing down at Greenmount Beach on Tuesday about 5 o'clock. And his death is only the second fatal shark attack at one of Queensland's beaches since 1962. And this was a beach that was protected by nets and drum lines, you know, which they do right along the coast there. Only the second death since 1962, so it's fair to say it's not very common.
How's that working out for him? Well, I suppose in against the odds, the nets are working, aren't they? Like one versus all the ones I haven't got. But now you're an animal lover, JT, big top. We've got Oscar looking over your shoulder there, staking out your fish as we speak. Tell me, what about the shark nets? Do you see them as a good thing or not?
No, I see them as a horrible thing. And I think, look, as much as I love jumping in the water like the rest of us, you're entering into another domain and you know the risks that come with that. And there are so many deaths by not only sharks who are doing nothing but just going about their natural business, but dolphins and whales and countless amounts of large fish are all caught in these nets and die a horrible death every single year. And it's just shit hours. And the Queensland government have gone on an attack here for the sharks. Three sharks have been killed already in retaliation for this. Now, you know, fair to say it was only one shark at best. So we've killed three sharks. God knows if it was the shark that even did it. And even if it did it, it's not its fault. You know, they don't deliberately target humans. They just go, here's a meal, I'll have a bite, and oh, shit, that tastes crap, and they move on. Unfortunately for us, that bite is often fatal. But, yeah, I just think it's pretty piss poor. And, look, I feel for the guy, of course. I mean, no one wants to die, and it'd be a horrible way to meet your end. But they're the risk when you enter the water. And I remember being down in Bell's Beach once, Don, and I you know, had the wetsuit on. It's getting a bit cold down there. And I had my legs dangling in the water on the board and yeah, I got bumped. I literally something bumped my leg. Now I don't know if it was a shark. I didn't see anything, but something bumped my leg, and I've never got to shore quicker in my life. And I shit you not, that was the last time I ever went bodyboarding or surfing, and that was probably 20 years ago. So I'm terrified of sharks. I am a scuba diver, ironically. And, you know, so I go down the water and, you know, you're always sort of looking out for these big sharks, but I don't dive down here because I'm terrified of big, big sharks. And most of them don't hang around the nice, beautiful reefs. So,
well, I'll tell you what, JT, I am going to apologize on behalf of the sharks that have done nothing wrong because I have been guilty as a leg amputee all my life. I'd often swim without my leg on, and many times when I go to the ocean, I would just think, me and my little warped sense of humour would think it's piss funny to hop flying out of the water screaming, shark, 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 and people would look at me hopping on. They probably didn't think that it was as funny as I did. But anyway, that's what you do when you got one leg is you just, you know, enjoy the fact that
we could make some very funny videos, Don, is all I'm thinking.
Yes. Stay tuned. I'll post something this during the week.
Now, of course, every year, Don, now you can help me out here, mate, because you've got a better memory than I, but it seems like every year we're getting these huge natural disasters. Now, whether it's, you know, some massive cyclones, and it's always like, oh, never before or since 100 years, blah, blah, blah. And right now, there's massive bushfires going on in California. And I swear to God, I hear this every year. That there's massive, you know, bushfires going on, and it's blah blah blah. And everyone's global warming, and I do believe in global warming. So I'm not saying it's not a thing, but it just seems to me. I don't know if it's just this just happens all the time, and they just like to beat it up for a news story that this is bigger than Ben-Hur, and this one's the biggest ever, and blah blah blah. Or is it just this stuff just happens every year, Don?
Well, it does happen, JT, and I think that we'd be kidding if we thought that it wasn't going to happen. Let's be honest. The Aboriginals for years actually used fire to control and to use that, you know, as a means of being able to control the environment, or at least use the environment to hunt food and that type of thing. So, mate, we had massive fires, and I haven't looked and done the comparison in terms of the size of what we lost in January and over that last summer. Mm-hmm. But I think also too, when you look at it, if the media aren't saying that it is the biggest, if they're not coming out and saying, then the media aren't doing their job, mate. Their job is to concern the shit out of everyone and sell advertising space.
Well, so they're doing a good job of that. So this fire in the US has burned 3.4 million acres and it's still spreading. Now, Don, I put it to you, because we live in the metric world here. I get anything that's got the word million in it, I get it must be pretty big, but I have no idea how big an acre is.
Oh, I tell you, JT, this is what I learned, right? Hmm. I went up with my big sister, Sachi, right, mm-hmm. when I was about four. No, I would have been about six, I reckon. And Sarge's about seven, and I went up to her, and I had this exact question. I said, Sarge, buddy, you know, there's hectares and acres. I said, what's 2 acres? And she went bang and kicked me in the nuts, and she goes, there's 2 acres.
Good. I like it. So, Don, I had to go and do a bit of research because I honestly didn't have a clue, and I said, well, just talk to me in MCG language. How many MCGs are we talking? So it turns out that the MCG, and this was actually see you later, Ian. Thanks for catching us. Good luck back in the UK. The MCG is 4.3 acres.
Wait, that concerns me because Ian's just gone, and on Facebook he said, got to shoot, guys. Like, fucking when people say that,
you sort of worry
that. Be careful, brother. You might get locked up saying that shit on Facebook. Don't do it.
MCG, 4.33 acres. So basically, the fires in California at the moment, Donnie, 785,000 MCGs worth have been destroyed. So it's pretty big.
That's large.
It's a very, very, very big. Speaking of large, Donnie, well, I want to talk about cleavage.
Hey!
Did you like that segue? Did you like that?
Yeah, that was good. What do you got, Jay? You're the male model. If anyone's going to have a decent rig on them and has every right to talk about cleavage, you're the man. What do you got?
I'm going to tread very, very warily here. But there was a story going around the internet this week, and there was some irony in it. I just thought it was quite amusing that I had to share. But there was a 22-year-old student. Her name was Jean, and now, it doesn't really matter anything other than she was 22. Now, she's gone to the world-famous Orsay Museum in Paris.
Right.
Do you know what it's sort of famous for there, Donnie?
Is that the Louvre over there?
Well, no, it's the Louvre's over there.
Next door.
But the Orsay Museum.
The Orsay?
Yeah. Orsay. It's mate, it's full of nude portraits.
Nudes?
Nudies. There's nudes everywhere. So there's this 22-year-old student. She's gone. She wants to go and check out the beautiful Orsay Museum. So she's there. Now, it was a pretty hot day. Now, loosen your clothing off when it's a hot day. Of course, don't you, Don? You don't want to get all hot and sweaty.
Every chance I'll get.
And anyway, one of the male staff just came around and surrounded her. And she was just in the queue, just lining to get in. And everyone sort of appeared to be staring at her breasts. This is one of the security guys here, and just said, calm down, madam. They wouldn't let her in.
Huh?
They'd have thought it was inappropriate. Too much cleavage, can't come in. So they told her. They told her to cover up. So she had to put a jacket on over her designer dress that she was wearing, and then they let her in. I just thought,
see what
nudes?
Fuck me! They dead said that security could get a job in Victorian government at this rate,
what or the
Queensland
hell?
Health Minister's role.
Ah, you've got to wonder where the world's at. Yeah, I mean,
that's crazy shit, isn't it?
And in Canada, there was a news anchor. Someone body shamed her, and she was wearing. And I have seen the picture, and I can show you there was very little cleavage showing. And someone emailed her and had a crack, and basically said, that she's, devaluing her worth by her clothing choices. She's a news anchor, and she should be more professional. Well, anyway, she just said, "Screw this!" So she just posted the whole email on her Instagram account and said, "This is the kind of shit we have to deal with as women journalists." And just named the person and their email address and everything. Good on her.
Buddy, good on. See, more of that shit needs to happen. People need to come out and stop sugarcoating shit and call it for what it is. And when there's a flog who thinks they're some sort of hero and jamming their values down or lack of down someone else's throat because of their preference of bloody dress, get stuffed, I say. Good on her.
Donnie, I'm proud of you. I thought you were going to go, let's go get the breasts out day or something. So I'm very proud of you that you've taken that approach. We are making progress here. This is good.
Yeah, look at me go. No, I'm a father of three beautiful daughters.
It's exactly right, mate. It's exactly right. Now, Don, when you think the world couldn't get any crazier and everyone's down in the dumps, we need good news.
What do you got? Well, you are the activator of all good news, JT. What do you got?
This is big, Donnie.
Righto.
Praise. Now, praise Australia. Praise mayonnaise, you know, that kind of praise.
Praise me in need.
Just like that. Well, they got a new product out, Don.
What do you got?
Chicken salt mayo.
Giddy up. That's got, buddy, that has got... giddy up written all over that.
Mate, if you thought your life
was
shit.
I on my body.
It's exactly right. Just go down. If you're having a shit week, if you're sick of COVID and crap, blah, 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 go down to your Coles or your Woolies, grab some chicken salt mayo, grab some hot chips, job done. World's a better place already.
It's just everything rolled into one, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just like everything. Like you don't need to do anything else.
It's the best thing ever. I'm telling you. It's literally, if you're having a shit day, that's going to fix everything. Now, Don, you know we cover a lot of stuff on the show and we like to share things with our readers. Some stuff we agree with, some stuff we just go, okay, it's a bit weird. But
so did you say that just because I uncovered, I took my tradie jacket off?
Is well, I could tell you, it's so warm in that tradie jacket that of course you're going to get warmed on. So, but you're wearing your tradie deodorant, mate, so at least there's no bad smells, so it's all good.
I'm not sweat.
Now, TEDx, you know TEDx, they come out with some great talks and innovative TEDx thinking. So TEDx London came out and they said, guess what? You know the word woman, Don?
I love women.
Yeah. W-O-M-E-N. Women. Yeah, we love women.
That's women.
Yep. Well,
man with an
it's,
A.
It's now being changed, Don. They're advocating the change and the new spelling for women is W-O-M-X-N because they're trying to remove the men from it. So it's still pronounced women, but the spelling of it is they are now spelling it as W-O-M-X-N. Their words,
JT.
The term sheds light on prejudice, discrimination and institutional barriers women have faced and explicitly includes non-cisgender women. There you go,
JT,
Donnie.
JT, there is a sucker born every minute.
I know, true. Well,
now, listen, I'm going to just who brought that out?
TEDx London.
TEDx, and they've replaced the A with an X. No, they didn't replace it with an S or anything.
They placed the E with an X, yeah. Women.
The E for women, yeah. And sure, woman is going to be X too, yes?
Probably. They didn't comment that, but no doubt, yes.
Okay. So they've replaced it with an X. JT, this is a blatant ambush marketing. They're not going to do that. This everyone talking about TEDx. So, honestly, TEDx is good. They're clever, but you've just fallen for it. You've just got sucked in.
Damn it. Yep. Not even
sorry, mate. I'm not giving you that. No one is that stupid. There's not a woman on the planet. Like, here we go. We've got Miranda Lee. She's put her hand up and said, "Hey, Don, you said activator." And I did say it, JT.
I didn't even notice.
Then I've got quite a few that are calling this out.
Oh, we did too. Yeah, so Miranda got in first. Congratulations, Miranda. Janine just missed out. Congratulations. So you've won yourself. What do we have from
the
our
AirPods.
Friends? The AirPods.
Wait, where fantastic. From? From Tom, where are they from?
TomM.com.au. Got some awesome products, great value on there. So congratulations. We'll grab your details after the show, Miranda. I think we've probably got them somewhere anyway. But
she's bloody legend.
We will
get
those on
to you. Fastest finger first, mate.
Thanks again to Daniel for making that happen. Now, Don, we reported last week, it was pretty bloody sad about the livestock, the MV Gulf Livestock, you know, the ship that was on its way to China and sunk. and with it, you know, 4,800 head of cattle and 41 people. And here we are a week later, Don. I did some research on this before the show because it's still just I find it completely bewildering that the ship has still not been found.
What do you mean it hasn't been found? It's not the bloody MH370. They got a beacon for it, didn't they?
Mate, it sent out a distress signal, which was received. They sent rescue crews out there. They did rescue three people. Unfortunately, one was deceased, but they did find two survivors. They found lots of floating debris and cattle and fuel and all sorts of shit. But the ship has still not been located 1 week later. It's just staggering that, you know, I understand with MH370 because – let's be honest, it was somewhere in the ocean. The ocean's a bloody big place. They don't even know which direction it went. And while
they got a survivor.
That's right. They actually got a survivor and they found debris and it sent an activation beacon and they sent crews and they still haven't found the ship.
Nah, I smell a rat. Well,
something, just something.
Something cool. Fishy about that.
Something bloody weird going on there, isn't it, Don? So
yeah, keep an eye on that one, JT. We might have to look into that. That ain't right.
No, that's what I reckon. So we'll keep everyone posted on what's happening on that one.
We're sorry. The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Now, Donnie, I'm not going to have a big rant and rave about my customer service segment because I have been known
you
to I've been known to go on a little bit. But I just wanted to talk to people today about something that that I end up talking about a lot for a living, and it's something that a lot of people get confused about. And it's really just what is the difference between customer experience and customer service? Right. Because you hear those terms thrown around a lot. And I just want to clear it up for everyone because there are really two different fields. And for me, when I grew up, it was really around customer service. But customer experience is a much bigger picture. So I want to give an example. If I'm going to order something, John, typically I would go to probably to Google first. I type in, I want to order tradie, you know, underwear.
And go to tradie.com.
So up no doubt would come tradie.com on the website and I would click on the link. And I would go to the website and of course, how that website looks, is it easy to navigate? Right. If I'd like to make an order, are the reviews there? When I make an order, how easy is it? Can I make payment? And then if I bought a product, well, of course, you know, then I'm waiting for it. So how long does the delivery take? When the delivery comes, you know, was the delivery driver nice? Was the packaging nice? Were the instructions, did they make sense? All of those touch points is what we call them. All of that from start to finish, then from the moment you start looking for something to the moment you've got a product in your hand and you're trying to use it, all of that is customer experience. Customer service is when you've got the product, in this case as an example, and you go, oh, this is a bit shit. I need to talk to someone. I'm going to ring the call center or I'm going to start a live chat. And you're talking to someone about your issues per se, or you've rung up to make an inquiry, that specific part is customer service. So it's a very, very small part of an overall customer experience. Mm. So when I live in the call center world, you know, we're really in the customer service space. When you walk right. into the department store and you're talking to someone over the counter or you're waiting for someone to serve you, that's customer service. But the broader piece, if you go to Meijer as the example, you know, whether you heard their commercial on TV, did you like it? When you went to the store, was it clean? When you bought something, was the packaging good? All that stuff is customer experience. So it's only that interaction that you're having with an organization is the customer service bit. So I just wanted to clear that up for everyone because it is two terms that get thrown around a lot. So that's all. It is simple definition.
JT, in a word, what is most important for the punter, for the customer, the experience or the service?
I look, both. That's the reality of it. Now, we know if people get shit customer service, they're more likely to leave. And so it's certainly a very important part. But if you don't get all the other bits right, it's also shit for your brand. So what we're finding now is a lot of companies are investing in the customer experience. They're employing customer experience professionals because they're doing what's called customer journey mapping. They're trying to go, well, what's a customer go through when they go to our website? Is it easy to use? Is it easy to order? Does the delivery service make sense? You know, when you're looking at the website on your mobile, does everything make sense? You know, sometimes you go to some websites and you can't bloody read them because they're not ready for your mobile, but you look at it on the desktop and it works fine. They're worried about all that sort of stuff. So they want to make sure that the whole end-to-end experience is fantastic. And that's good for us as consumers because the more people do and invest in that, the better the experience for us. And guess what? For businesses, 85% of companies that invest in customer experience make more money. So even though it's a nice thing to do and we benefit from it, happier customers tend to stay longer and spend more. So there's a lot of smart business investing in customer experience, and hopefully for all of us, Donnie, there's more of that happening.
Well, mate, that is why you are the guru when it comes to male model customer experiences. You know your stuff, mate. There you go. Well played. Good work. Hey, guess what, JT?
What have we got?
You're adopted. I was having a little dance and fell off my chair. Now, JT, this is a serious bit because this is...
it is. Where the hell did we get to last week, Donnie?
Well, we had hate mail the week before, but then you allowed people to realise that you finally got to meet your brother. Your dad's mate saw him at the funeral. They walked over to you together. He put his hand out and he offered you his condolence for your loss. And then, mate, you can pick it up from there. And I, you know, would love to know what happened next.
Yeah, thank you, Donnie. So, yeah, we agreed to catch up, you know, next time he was back in Australia. He lives overseas. So it wasn't literally, it was probably, it was about 6 months probably post the funeral that he did reach out and said, hey, I'm going to be down and I've got a spare night. Would you like to catch up with me and my wife? Of course I bloody do.
You're hanging on, just hanging, waiting for that?
Yeah, you know, it was, and yeah, it was pretty good. Although, to be honest, the week that it's always the way, Murphy's Law, isn't it? That literally, I was running a big training course program. I had a guy out from Germany running all these training courses, and it was big. You know, hired the Pullman on the park, and you know, spent a fortune bringing him out and putting on these courses. Day one of this big 5-day sort of conference was the only day that my brother had available, was that night. Oh, so bloody I had a hell. Very early start, and yeah, it was a bloody long day. So by the time I caught up with him at like 6 o'clock, I think it was, I was bloody knackered already, to be honest. But that is what it is, right? So so we caught up, and I've got to be honest, man. It was I think we were there for about 5-6 hours, so we gave it a good crack, and we spoke a lot. And he was fantastic. Look, you know, he had a zillion questions, and I answered them all, and I had a zillion questions as well. So
just tell me, he's older than you, you said?
No. So I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest.
Yeah, right. Yeah. My dad was very young. So I think he was 16, 17. So yeah, I was the oldest. He just turned 40, and I'm 48. So it's 8 years sort of difference.
So where was this one in the pecking order?
He's the oldest. So
he's the oldest out of the boys.
That's right. He's the oldest out of the boys. Okay. Yep. And he had a lot of questions, and you know, so we spoke about a lot of stuff, and a few things that stuck out for me. One, Don, was I sort of was telling him about writing a letter, and I've told our listeners already about that process of writing a letter, and I did write one to my dad, and I got donuts back and all this sort of stuff. And anyway, he actually said his mum actually remembered getting that letter.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so he denied it, and but the letter did get through, and he denied it then. So he had a chance to come clean then and didn't, and for who will never know the reason why, but
oh my God.
Yeah, so that letter did get through.
So you can understand the power of that letter, like if it falls in the wrong hands or mate, you can see why that adoption agency taught you how to write it and why to write it, what happened?
So, we had a really good chat, and he dropped a, you know, I learned a lot about my family and background and history and nationalities and all, you know, grandparents and all sorts of stuff. So, look, there was a lot to take in. And I think when you talk for so long, to be honest, even now I still have some flashbacks. Oh, shit, that's all right. I think he said that. You know, it's just so much to consume. But one of the things that probably struck out for me was I was pretty down afterwards, and I was so I was so geared up, you know, that this is going to be so huge, and you know, because all my life I just wanted to meet my brothers, and that's all I'd ever wanted, and you know, so here's your chance, you meet someone, and it just dawned on me afterwards, you know, when I was going home, and admittedly I was knackered, but I was sort of going home, and I thought that's about it, like this is kind of the end of the road, because he said to me, he said he actually told the other brothers, so of course they didn't know at the funeral or anything, but he decided that he'd take it upon himself to tell everyone. So he told the other two brothers, and he told his mum, which would have been incredibly tough.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that's why that the bit came out about the letter. It would have been incredibly tough to tell his mum, you know, that story. And but she said, she goes, oh, I'm not surprised. And that's when it came up that she about the letter. And
So she's put it all together.
Yeah. So, God. So look, credit to him. He said, look, it was a secret that he goes, I didn't want to carry the secret. I think everyone has a right to know. What they do with it is their choice kind of thing, but I thought it was my obligation to tell everyone. So you know, I really appreciate that he did that. The feedback was from the middle brother that, you know, he had taken – you know, Jeff's death pretty not well, and just needed a bit of time, and you know, wasn't sure how he was going to go and whether he'd ever want to meet. Was just his honest view of where that was at. And my youngest brother, it was sort of left it a little bit more open. He's got a lot on his plate at the moment. He's, you know, he's got a professional career, and he's also separated. He had three young kids from a first marriage, and he's now got just been remarried and got a 5-month-old. So he's got a bit on his plate, it's fair to say. So
as it is right now, you've only met the eldest of the three boys, right, and you haven't met the other two.
Correct. And it doesn't sound like it. In the immediate future there's any scope for that to happen either. So, you know, it's still, you know, this is still news as it's going along, I guess, or it's still, the story's still forming, I guess.
And I think, JT, just on that too, like we started this journey like 14 weeks ago, the unearthing and starting to unpack this story of your adoption as if it was this thing from yesteryear, and we were going to, you know, read the book and there it is. But the fact that right now here you are on episode 14 of the Giddy Up podcast and it's still evolving, this story of your adoption.
Still evolving, and I think it was, look, one of the things I struggled with, but I think, you know, as I said, I always wanted a relationship with my brothers, and after that meeting it was pretty clear that I think it's just reality set in. I'm 48, you know, I'm an adult, you know, like a senior adult, and not that I act like it sometimes, but but you know, you're getting old, and you're like, you know, we're not going to be going down to the park and kicking a footy, you know, we're all adults, we've all got our own lives. I struggle to catch up with my own mates as it is, let alone, you know, try and build a new relationship with a half brother who lives on, you know, the other side of the world, right? It was just the reality of it. So, you know, I think that was probably a little bit hard to, not a bit of spilled pill to swallow, is that the right word? But it was probably just a reality check for me that you know, that's just where we're at. And you know, the other boys, who knows whether I ever get to meet them or not. Hopefully I will, but even if I do, you know, it's not like we're going to be, you know, long lost mates and, you know, be besties all the time. So look, who knows how it'll go in time, but I'm grateful that I, you know, they know that I exist now, and that's certainly a lot further than we've come ever. And I got to meet my oldest brother, I got to meet my dad, I got to meet my mum, and there's a lot of horror stories. I told a couple of them, you know, very early in the podcast, that some people never got that opportunity to even meet their parents. And I feel incredibly blessed to have met both. And, you know, yes, I would have loved a longer relationship, different outcomes, all that sort of stuff, but I'm grateful for that at least.
Well, JT, it's been a bloody hell of a story, and I don't want to preempt that. You know, the JTU adoption story is finished by any stretch of the imagination. I certainly don't want to say that that's the last thing you got to contribute when it comes to the podcast, because, number one, I really love your bloody stinger. Your hip-hop, like, it's cool as cat. It's the best song we've got. But on a serious note, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for the people that have reached out to me and got stuck into you and called you a mongrel, and for leaving them high and dry, and for all the things that come with you telling this. It's been bloody incredible. And as a mate, I really do hope you get the chance to maybe not kick the footy with your brothers, but to hang out, to meet them. And, you know, I hope that plays out in the best possible way for you. And I certainly hope that it's not a funeral, you know, that brings you together again, because you've had one of those. And, you know, you deserve better. So all the best, mate, with that.
Thank you, mate. And, you know, it is there's a lot of people out there who have been adopted. And, you know, I watched Ando's Arch, you know, when he paints the pictures and shit last week in Adelaide Beachy on. And if you haven't seen it, it was a fantastic episode. And Lane was adopted, and she talks about her story. And there was just a lot of stuff that she said just really resonated with me. And I hadn't thought about things the way the way she articulated it. So there's a lot of people that carry around, you know, the adoption, and they've all got their own journeys and stories. And yeah, you know, it's a fascinating area, but it is the only life I've known. I said it right from day one. Yes, it's a bit out of the ordinary. I appreciate that now, but it was, you know, when you're growing up, that's all you know. So you know, I don't think it's necessarily a good or a bad thing.
JT, I tell you what we might do is, if you don't mind, I wouldn't mind digging into a bit of a bit more later on in future episodes around the adoption. Let's maybe even put it to the punters, to the listeners, and say, you know what, is there some questions they want to know from you? What have you not answered for them? I mean, you've been bloody open, you've told the story, but I've no doubt that their listeners might have some questions. So if they're not tonight, or today, or whenever they're listening to this, they want to just write into us, Giddy Up Podcast,
yep.
And to me, you will answer those questions, and you've already proved that you'll do it pretty honestly. So
that's exactly right. And look, it's the same with you in terms of, you know, talking about disability, and you know, we're an open book. We're happy to talk about anything. So if people got questions, send them in. Spot. Driving. Now, Don, every week we try and grab a clip from around the world. Now,
what do you got, JT? Well, this is your big space, and I never know where you're going to come. When you start pushing buttons down there, I don't know what you've got for me. So,
ladies and gentlemen, if you've got children in the room,
oh no, it's not another one of these.
I'm just saying,
I'm just coming to tease.
If you've got young children, now might be a time for them just to go and grab a glass of milk. I promise you,
it's always milk with you.
I promise this only goes for a minute. But it's bloody funny, and we've got to play it. Now, I'll set it up. Bruce and Phil, stalwarts of 3AW. Now, if you don't know who Bruce and Phil are, they used to do the night shift at 3AW. The nicest guy you'll ever meet. Unfortunately, we've sadly lost one of the guys, Phil, I think it was, passed away. But I hope it wasn't Phil. Nevertheless, it was Bruce, one of them. One passed away.
It gets real awkward.
But you know what? They get some really lonely people calling. And genuinely, these guys keep people company. I know a lot of my grandma used to listen to it night all night when they don't sleep. They just have these guys on. It was just a comfort voice, and they get all sorts of listeners and all sorts of types. And you, every now and then you get the drunk person on, and you know, they're very nice. But you also get the very sad people and a whole bunch of mix of different folks and strokes. So anyway, this is just one caller that, well – again, kiddies, time to go get some milk.
No.
Nightline with Bruce Mansfield and Philip Brady on 1278 3AW.
Down to Newport, Toby's at Newport. Hello, Toby.
Hi, Bruce. Hi, Phil.
Yes, Toby.
How are you?
Good. Oh, good, thanks.
It's very late. Mum lets me stay up and listen to you guys some nights.
Good.
I love listening. It's the best. Me and my brother love to listen.
Good boy.
I have a joke.
Yes.
What's the funniest smelling thing in the whole wide world?
The funniest smelling thing in the whole wide world?
Yes.
Perhaps your nose.
Oh, nah.
What was it?
An anchovy's cunt.
Oh, what a pity, Toby. You've ruined your track record there. Never call us again, please. Never in your life even think about it.
And think, all right, we've dumped you, Toby, but there are people like Carmen and Queenie online and could hear that in their ear, Richard, and are offended.
Richard and we heard it, and Simon heard it.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they're not there.
Oh, dear, Donnie.
I can't believe it. See, I might have to take over the switchboard, the panel there, JT. Wow. I'm not sure you can be trusted.
did warn us. the less.
Oh, well, that's your segment, JT. Oh, mate, I tell you what, it is something that excites me every time I hear the old Toke Public School theme song on a Friday. It takes me back. It takes me back to a kid. This is this day in Don's diary, JT. It's a Friday night. I'm watching one of my heroes. His name was Gary Ablett, the original, right, the senior. Yep. And the reason I watched him, JT, is because his nickname was God. So if you can imagine someone's cutting laps of the footy over with a nickname of God, they got something going on, right?
Must go on, right?
I didn't even barrack for Geelong, but, mate, that's bloody impressive. Anyway, I watched one night Ablett, Friday night, take this awesome big bloody mark, big screamer, right? Kicked a goal. It was bloody legend. And I was like 14. I was inspired like this. I just thought, that's awesome. I played in the forward pocket for Tokemon. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to be like Ablett tomorrow. So my plan of attack in the forward line was that I'd go up the ground, I'd get the ball, I'd kick a goal, and all the girls would love me, right? As simple as that was my plan.
Pretty basic. And yep.
I knew I'd have to go up the ground because our team was shit. The ball wasn't coming down the forward line much, right? So I'm playing Finley, which is the other a local town against Tokemul. And halfway through the second quarter, I thought, righto, it's time. Time to do my Ablett. So off I go. I start running, running, running. I get to the centre half forward area. And I thought, I could see not much action. Like the footy was sort of scrummed in the middle and it had been raining on Friday night. And I hadn't really thought much of this apart from I was getting the ball, kicking goal, being superstar, chicks all over me, right?
Of course.
As you do when you're playing full
speed. That's how I got through my whole career. Yep.
In I go, straight into the middle.
Yep.
It's a cricket pitch, bit boggy.
Ooh,
and I've taken this step and I've heard this. And I've taken another step and my legs come off JT.
Oh,
and
shit.
It's standing straight up behind me in the mud. And I thought, oh, shit, what are we going to do? And I could see the footy. It was only meter in front.
Tell
so
me
I
you
did
went
this
for
huge
it.
Big dive.
Yes.
I've jumped on the ball. I've got the ball. This bloody moron from Finley, I think his name was Huhulis. He's jumped in my back.
Free kick.
Your free kick, mate.
There we go.
I'm standing there with no leg on
one
JT.
How do
you kick a ball?
You probably can't.
You can't. I handballed the ball off the runner, he come out and he got my leg out the mud, mate, and I hopped off and the coach goes, hey, Donnie, that's why you're in the forward pocket, mate. So I spent the rest of that game on the bench and the next 3 weeks, JT, on the bench for not listening to the coach. So what I can say is, kids, if you're out there and you're playing footy, always listen to the coach, and kicking goals does not just automatically equate to attracting chicks.
So the lesson JT. There is, there's a few lessons there, Don.
What might they be, JT? Well,
look, I'm all for equal opportunity and people having a crack, Don, but I would have thought.
What did you think?
One leg, Don. Midfield. Probably
not for me.
Not the best combination.
There was a reason I was in the forward pocket, JT. It's a nice sort of little sneaky goal sort of kicking spot. Not a lot of running.
Did you kick any, Don? How did you career
I go? Did, yeah. No, I kicked my first goal against Cobram. I was pretty bloody happy with that too. It was a big snap. And why I was – I got the – I remember playing Cobram. They won the premiership the year before. Mm. We beat them by 10 goals this day, right?
Yep.
And I kicked my first goal after it was Blair Campbell. He threw the ball to me. And – I was waiting for the umpire to blow the whistle, but he didn't because I thought he's thrown that and he'll blow the whistle. I just kicked it, snapped it straight up in the air, went for a goal. First goal I ever kicked. I was bloody beside myself, mate. I was pretty happy with that. So, mate, footy was good to me, except when it was wet. That wasn't my forte.
Yeah. No, you and me both.
Mate, that's Dawn's diary.
Oh, hang on. Breaking news, Donnie.
What do you got?
John Travolta. He's been hospitalised for suspected COVID-19.
Really?
Yeah, apparently presented at the hospital as he had chills. They were multiplying. But, Donnie, I'm just being silly. Doctors have now confirmed that it was only a case of Saturday night fever, and they can assure everyone that he'll be staying alive.
Ah, JT. I tell you, the dad jokes, mate, that is not funny. Bang, dad joke right there, 101.
It's not even time for dad's joke. That was just a bonus, Donnie.
Oh, mate.
Because I'm going to get into my dad jokes, but I want to hear some of your life tips, Donnie, because, mate, people love them.
JT, three little quick ones. I think you might have given this one already one time. It was when you open up tape, particularly, those that in a couple of months' time need to use a lot of tape when they might be doing a bit of wrapping.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not sure where the end of the tape is, then just put it, like take a little bread clip or something to stick it on the bottom. I think you've told us that one in the past. That's also a good one.
Mm-hmm.
There are other ones I've got for you, JT. So I was looking around, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what really got me thinking about this is the whole Are You Okay World Buddy, Suicide Prevention Day, everything. And ultimately it stems to worry. And the more I thought about it, the more I started to really come down to the point is all the worry in the world has never paid a bill. It's never solved a problem. It's never been good for anything than raising your blood pressure. So my life hack, JT, sounds bloody simple. And there was a professor got a bit like, hey, what are you talking about the other day when he came out and said, when you start your day, just make your bed.
Oh, I heard
give
that.
Yourself a win. Start your day in control of something you can control and create your own routine. And for me, I would say piss worry off out of your life as much as you possibly can. The way to do it, ask yourself this question. When you find yourself worrying, ask yourself one very simple question. Will I be thinking about this in 5 years? Is this the biggest issue of my life and will it consume my conversations in 5 years? If the answer is no, then give it what it deserves, which is probably stuff all. So, JT, no worries. That's my
tip one.
My point there. My routine, I touched on that. Make your bed. Just have the wins whenever you can get them. And you're allowed to fabricate wins. People haven't worked that out yet. I've told myself for years, I was on the back of my old man telling me this. When I was young, he said, mate, if you tell yourself you're a dickhead long enough, or if you tell somebody else they're a dickhead, you tell them that enough, they'll eventually believe it. And I thought, why on earth would I want anybody to tell me that or anyone else? Why don't I tell myself that life's great? I told myself that literally every day. And I shit you not, JT, I believe it. I know it's great and it's what we make of it. So we can create what we want based on our self-talk. Our self-talk is critical. JT, I'm going to leave you with a book. My book tip this week is, well, it's not my normal go-to. I looked at it and thought, oh, it's not bloody, that's not really me. But I thought, I'll have a listen. Now, I say have a listen because I download the audio book, right? This is how I take in a lot of books. A lot of books is by audio books. The book I've got for you is Monster Blood Tattoo.
Sounds a bit rough. Okay.
And the reason I like it is because right now the world is full of pricks like us, people trying to tell you how to live. This is a chance to switch off and not listen to self-help or anyone telling you how to fix shit. Just switch off and have a listen to a book that's got no absolute chance of being anything remotely close to real. It's not bloody monsters and shit, but it's not. It's an easy listening good book. So Monster Blood Tattoo is my book of choice for this week, JT.
Great tips. Thank you. Did you know, Donnie, a slice of apple pie in Jamaica is $3 and it's $3.15 in the Bahamas?
Really?
Yeah, they're the pie rates of the Caribbean.
You know what's coming. Oh,
I'm just warming up.
You're just full of dad jokes, JT.
I am warming up, Donnie.
Dad joke of the week.
Now, before I start, Donnie, I just want to say congratulations again to Paul Watt, who was our winner from last week, got himself a $150 tradie.com voucher. That was for the genie joke that we told last week. So good on you, Paul. Now, we've got a new joke, and I'm going to give a shout-out to another guy called Paul Watt because he's in another one.
Oh, bloody he's, champion.
He was
good
so pumped
you,
for winning. He just said, here's another good one for you. It's a freebie on me. Bloody love that. Bloody love it.
And the what do you got for me?
Well, the reason I give him a shout out, because if it's shit, I'm blaming him. See, this is just, we all win here. no, it's not bad. It's not bad. Here we go. So a guy stuck his head into a barber shop and he asked, how long before I can get a haircut? So the barber looked around the shop full of customers and said, oh, about 2 hours. And the guy just left. Oh, it's a bit weird. Anyway, a few days later, the same guy stuck his head in the door and asked, how long before I can get a haircut? Barber looked around the shop, it was a bit busier, and he said, oh, about 3 hours. So the guy just left. A week later, the guy stuck his head in the shop and he asked, oh, how long before I can get a haircut? The barber looked around the shop and said, oh, about an hour and a half. The guy left. The barber just turns to his friend. He says, hey, Bob, do me a favor. Just go and follow that bloke. Just see where he goes. Keeps coming in, asking me how long it's going to be to get a haircut, and he never comes back. So a little while later, Bob returns to the shop, and he's laughing hysterically. He just cannot stop laughing. And the barber's last looked at him, he's going, mate, so where the hell does he go when he leaves? And Bob just looks up, and he's wiping the tears of laughter from his eyes and just looks at him and says, your place.
Oh! Paul Watts, you bastard. Hey, he sent you that, didn't he?
He did.
Oh.
Now, this next one for Nant. I know Nant loves dogs, so we've got a dog joke.
Right.
Yeah. So a guy spots a sign outside a house that reads "Talking Dog for Sale." Not every day you see that sign, is it, Don?
No, I haven't seen
it before. No. So intrigued, the guy walks in. And he walks in, and then the dog says, "Oh, so what have you done with your life?" Asked the dog. Jesus.
Be cool.
Actually, can I get that right? He asked the dog, "What have you done with your life?" Sorry, I get it right. I can't even tell the joke properly. And the dog answers. He goes, "I've led a very full life," says the dog. He goes, "I lived in the Alps rescuing avalanche victims. Then I served my country in Iraq. And now I spend my days reading to the residents of a retirement home." And the guy's just flabbergasted. He's like, you ask the dog, he goes, "Why on earth would you want to get rid of such an incredible dog like that?" And the owner just says, "Because he's a liar. He never did any of that shit."
That's good.
See,
I love that.
Didn't see that one. Well, didn't see that one coming, do you? Clap for that,
that's good.
And just finally, a doctor, he just gets a patient and just, you know, says, "I'm sorry, but you suffer a terminal illness and you've only got 10 to live." Hmm. And the patient's like, "What do you mean, 10? 10 what? Months? Weeks?" And the doctor just looks at him and says, "9.
Oh, oh, no. Oh, that's one way to deliver it, I suppose.
Yeah, there we go. All right, there we go. That's it. What do you think, Donnie? How'd it go?
Yeah, no, give yourself a clap. That was it. That's how you laugh.
I don't even have the clap one. There we go. There we go. Yeah! Yeah.
Hey, while we're clapping, JT,
yep,
keep that round of applause going for the Drillery under 17s, mate. They've got their grand final coming up tomorrow.
Ooh, go you good things.
And, of course, they're in New South Wales, so they'll be able to play that. They don't have to do a virtual grand final, which is bloody fantastic. Good luck to them.
Good luck, guys. Get up. Get a win. Want to report back next week on the win.
Yes.
All right. Now, Donnie, of course, following the dad joke, we have our Heroes and Zeros segment. But bit of a change.
Got a stinger, JT?
I've got a stinger. It's exactly the same stinger as last week because I've been busy. But
that's right. I'll play it and I'll tell you. We stopped it early. You know why we stopped it early, JT?
Why have we done that, Don?
Because we're changing it.
Why have
we
done that?
We're only doing half the segment.
Oh, what do you mean? Heroes and Zeros?
Because flogs do not get a mention on the Giddy Up podcast. Where there's no zeros anymore, mate. We're only going to spotlight on the heroes.
Good news only. Don't need any more crap talking about shit people. We're just going to focus on the good ones.
Yep. If they feature in the news early in the
podcast. Right. We'll give them a whack over there. Oh, awesome. Well, who's our hero for this week, Donnie?
Well, we've mentioned a few times that a theme of this week was the "Are you okay?" And we even publicly sort of said, "Yeah, we are," but one day a year doesn't really cut it. But Gavin Larkin, unfortunately, Gavin died at the age of 42, but he is the founder of Are You Okay Day. And anything that creates and prompts people to have a conversation about mental health and just looking out for their mates, their family, their community, we think are a bloody hero. So, Gavin, preposterously, you're not with us anymore, but, you know, you've started something. Your legacy is something that will absolutely live on. So, well played, and thank you from two blokes that actually give a shit about other people's well-being. We think it was a bloody good thing you started a few years back in 2009. So, you are our hero.
Well done. Fantastic. Agree with you there, Donnie. Now, a man walks into a rooftop bar, Don, and takes a seat next to another guy. He says, "Well, what are you drinking?" He asks the guy. "Magic beer," he says.
This will be good.
"Oh, yeah. What's so magical about it?" Well, then he shows him. He swigs some beer, dives off the roof, flies around the building, and then returns to his seat with a triumphant smile. "Amazing," says the man. He goes, "Let me try some of that." So he grabs the beer, sculls it down, leaps off the roof, and plummets 15 stories to the ground and kills himself. Oh. And the bartender just shakes his head and goes, "You know what? You're a real arsehole when you're drunk, Superman."
Oh, he's a nasty. Hey, last laughs on the bartender, mate. Because how'd Superman turned out?
I don't know. How did he turn out?
Bloody in a wheelchair. Remember he fell off that horse?
Oh, poor Christopher Reeve did too, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, old Christopher Reeve's like, yep, no siree. I remember he wheeled out at the 96 Paralympic Games and
that's right.
And he said, you know, he'd come up with, you know, I will walk again one day. And everybody, person in a wheelchair is there just going, you're kidding, aren't you, mate?
Didn't walk again either, did he?
So anyway, don't want to put a damper on it because that's piss funny from Superman back in his day when he was in good form. Now, JT, what's next?
Audience Q&A.
All right, now hear it out, JT, I put this out to the punters last week and said, hey, Father's Day was only a couple of days away from our next show.
It was.
And I said, whoever is the father of the year, voted by the punters out there, whoever writes in and says, buddy, you know what, you're awesome, you will get a tradie voucher.
We did. And we said we'd announce it on Father's Day, Don.
Well, we were inundated. We had about 4 million to go through.
we had a few.
We scanned through those and we come up with this one. I just want to read this out, JT.
All right.
Father's Day, best dad, my husband Kev. So you'll know who you are now. As we know, the bushfires wreaked havoc over New South Wales and Vic. Kev's hand went straight up to be second strike force team and he went out to Ulla Dulla and literally – couldn't be home for Christmas. He's currently a deputy captain of the Jerilderie New South Wales Fire Rescue. He busts his ass for the community. He's a dead set legend and somebody who's got 3 kids and does everything he can. And so much so, how's this? He is the runner for the under-17s team that's playing in the grand final tomorrow, by the way. I've just put this all together. That's quite exciting. And so not only is going to Kev be celebrating being the father of the year and having a ripping wife who's just won him and a $100. How much is it? What do we make it, JT?
$150 voucher.
$150. Crank it up. $150. It's a $150 tradie voucher for being the dad of the year for the Giddy Up podcast. So well played.
Absolutely
sensational. And Kev, your voucher will be coming via your beautiful midget wife. And we will send that out. So if you don't get it from her, get it off the kids because they've probably gone shopping on your behalf. So
congratulations. Awesome. Well deserved. Community heroes. We love hearing about that, Don. Now, speaking of community heroes, Donnie, we have this little segment each week. Now, I get a bit excited because I don't have a big celebrity network like yourself, Donnie, and well, each week you bring, you just tap out to your bloody vast network and, hey, celebs, here I am. I need something. And, man, I can't wait to hear who you've got this week, mate. Here we go. What do you got, Donnie?
Stop press JT.
Hang on. What?
Oh, well, I've got some announcements, big announcements.
I don't like where this is going.
No, this is big. JT.
Who we got now? We're playing it now. This is big. Who have we got?
We are going to tweak our podcast. We don't normally do this, but we're going to tweak it.
Hang on.
We're going to have a celebrity, a educated man on here, or woman, depends what sex he identifies as, and he's going to come on here and give us some money advice. But what we're going to do, JT, is I said, don't just come on and give me 2 minutes. I want an in-depth interview with you. So at the moment, he's selling cars and houses and buying properties in Sydney. Maybe that was him who snapped that little bargain up there, 95 mil. Not sure. We'll check. When we are going to interview him, JT, when I can get 3 minutes of your time during the week. We're going to interview this filthy, filthy, well-educated, amazing man. But the clincher is this. He has to bring some 2-minute highlight package for our punters, how they can instantly save money next week.
Right. So next week you're going to have a 2-minute clip. If I understand this right, you're going to have a 2-minute clip with just one or two great money tips for our punters. And then we're going to have a separate interview in. If people want to pick up some more money tips and some ways they can save, whatever it might be, invest, whatever, we'll have a separate podcast for that. So if you don't give a shit for that stuff, you've only got to listen to 2 minutes of it on the podcast. If you love it, we'll have a whole podcast you can tune into.
JT, no one's ever interpreted anything I've said so well as you've just done there. It's almost like you knew what I was thinking.
It's almost like we discussed it. Wow. It's amazing what happens when you have a run sheet and you stick to it.
We'll do that next week.
Now, speaking of the run sheet and sticking to it. Now, last week, Donnie, we spoke about afterlife.
Oh, we're not dead yet.
No, we're not. But we spoke about how great a show it was, and I know a few of our listeners.
Oh, the TV show.
Yeah, they commented and said, that was their favourite show as well. But you had a question I think you wanted to put out to people, Don.
Well, I wanted to find out if anyone actually has watched it. I wanted to find out, because I voted and I took your advice, right, which I often do, JT, except when it comes to Apple shit. I took your advice and I went and binged on the Afterlife, loved it.
Mm.
And then I thought I'll put it out to the punter. So I wanted to know if anyone actually watched Afterlife after we mentioned it.
Right.
And if they did, if they could just give us some sort of like sign, or if they didn't, that's okay too, just don't say anything. But really, why I wanted to know that, JT, is because if they did, I was going to lead them to the bloopers.
Ah, there's some great bloopers around, isn't there? There is.
So,
yeah. Are we going to put the link out or something for people? Is that the plan?
Yeah, we'll do that during the week. Do you reckon we do that?
Yeah, oh, shit, yeah.
All right, we'll do that.
Funny,
we'll put the bloopers link on. Where do we put it, JT?
We'll put it in our group, of course.
All right.
So you've got to be in the Giddy Up podcast group, Facebook, Giddy Up group, and we will post that link there because genuinely, I mean, he's an awesome bloke and he's happy to post his stuff ups as well. And there are some cracking bloopers going around. So if you love the show Afterlife, you will love the bloopers because you'll know everyone who's who's in it as well. So, Donnie, mate, we've covered off a fair bit tonight as we usually do. And, of course, I get a bit excited because we get to do the close and you get to do the timing right. And then we'll have a good chat to our listeners afterwards.
Right, JT. I'm excited.
So we're just going to, it just builds. I love the way it just builds up slowly and it just comes to a crescendo, Don. And
when is that?
Oh, that crescendo is coming soon.
Yup.
Ooh, I liked it.
Hello, guy. Did I get that?
Yeah, I like that one.